I ask you to stand out of reverence for God's holy word. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the second half of verse 7, the word of the most holy God says this: "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may. We're in the middle of our series where we are talking about God's answer to prayer. So let's review where we were last week, because the two concepts you've got to have down are faith and providence. So let's read together the biblical definition of faith. Confidence, trust, belief in God, his promises, and his principles that guide our actions. That, notice the word actions is underlined, because it's not enough to believe. You have to believe enough to act upon. That is the biblical definition of faith. God's providence is God's foreknowledge, his overarching plan, and his power. All of those are combined together in what we call providence. Providence is the arena of God that he surrenders to no one. In other words, God is God and you're not. God is God and I'm not. He is the final authority. Which is as it should be, because who could be any better? Last week we talked about when God's answer is yes. You know, we looked at the story of Peter. Peter had been arrested. He was going to be executed the next day for being a follower of this crazy Jesus guy. And they were getting ready to do him in. So while the leadership of the Jews were plotting, the faithful were praying. And they had gathered together and they were praying, and an angel, a messenger of God, shows up and completely, absolutely escorts Peter out of the jail. It just sets him free, just exactly what they were praying for. And amazingly enough, they were shocked by it when he shows up at the door. You know, the thing about real faith, folks, real faith is, if you're praying for rain, carry an umbrella. You know, if you're really going to believe what you're praying, you know, try to be prepared for however God's going to answer, because God says yes so many times whenever his providence and our faith are in one accord. God says yes right then. But today, we've chosen the passage of Scripture that is probably the best known of God's no's. Paul had a thorn. He called it a messenger of Satan. Now, we have no idea what this thorn was. We all have our different ideas. You know, was it a physical thorn? Was it perhaps that he could not see after his encounter on the Damascus Road and he was blinded? They said scales fell from his eyes, but he makes reference later to people who were praying for him, and he said, you know, you would have given me your eyes if you could. That kind of leads you to think that maybe he had a weakness in his eyes that was making things difficult for him. Or perhaps, you know, he was just getting old. Perhaps he had some other physical affliction. Or maybe it was an emotional problem. I'll tell you what. Physical problems are bad, but you want to talk about the devil, let's get in our emotions. Because the devil can keep you tore up. right? He can keep you tore up. And maybe it was depression. I mean, let's think about it. The boy has been shipwrecked, persecuted, beaten, stoned, run out of nearly every town in the ancient world. I mean, I would get a little depressed, don't you think? Maybe it was an emotional thing. Maybe it was a spiritual thing. Because in amongst all the things that were happening from outside of the church, think of what was happening inside the church. When he wrote these words, he was writing to a Corinthian church that he loved that was plagued with internal fighting. They were fighting amongst themselves. I'm a follower of Apollos. Well, I'm a follower of Paul. Or you know? And I want, you know, it was one of those what color should the carpet be kind of things. And the churches then also were into more serious things. Some of the churches had fallen back into their pagan ways, and they were having immorality. They were believing dangerous heresies, not just differences, but dangerous heresies that would pollute the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe his afflictions were spiritual. Maybe he was having a hard time forgiving those who betrayed him. You ever had to forgive somebody that betrayed you? That one's hard. But whatever his thorn was, whatever this thorn was, he called it a messenger of Satan, and this is what we know for sure. Paul's reasoning was, this thing hurts. I am hurting God. So three times he goes to God and said, God, this thing hurts. And not only does it hurt, it is hindering me from what I want to do in my ministry. Notice, I want to do. It is hindering me from all I want to do. How many times have I said to God, Lord, I think you need to remove this because it is keeping me from doing all I want to do for you. And, you know, those are true words. You know, it's not just, you know, God, you've got a stake in this too. You need to do what I'm telling you. It is, Lord, I really want to serve, or I'm doing my best. I can't tell you the literally hundreds of times I have heard people say to me, I don't understand why I have this or that bad thing happening when I'm trying so hard to serve God. No one ever tried harder to serve God than the Apostle Paul. And he's, you know, his reasoning is, this thing is hurting me, and you love me, so I know, you know, hurting me is not, you know, part of it. And it is hindering what I want to do in my ministry. So on, you know, in human reasoning, it sounds like God ought to be just right on that, doesn't it? This is God's reasoning. Paul's personality is that he can get kind of arrogant. We've seen it. He's displayed it on many occasions. We know. And with all of the wondrous miracles that God is working through him, this thorn is helping keep Paul humble. Paul is a very gifted, educated person. Other than the fact that apparently he was not the world's greatest speaker, he was an amazing thinker, and he was a Roman and a Jew. He spoke more than one language. He was somebody who had authority and power, and he had all these things, and you know those people can do it on their own? No idea. Those people can do things on their own. They can raise this ministry up. There's a lot of people that, for reasons that I don't understand, God has gifted and gifted and gifted to the point that they actually become dangerous because they can do it on their own. The thorn helped Paul understand that he needed to rely on God's grace, not on his own gifts and talents. The thorn had a purpose. Because in this case, Paul's faith and God's providence are at odds with each other. I'm certain that if there had been another way, God would have taken it. If there had been a better way, God would have taken it. But God chose not to remove the thorn. Now the good news is, God said no. But that's not all he said. When God tells you no, that's not all he says. He doesn't just say no and too bad about you. He said no, like we have said no to the children under our care. No, because it's not right for you. No, because I've got your best interest at heart. No, I say no, not to hurt you, but because I love you. God says, no, I love you. No, but I'll always be with you. No, and even though you can't understand it, all things work together for good, that those who love God and are called according to his purpose. No, but you've got to understand that my ways are higher than your ways. No, but peace, be still. My grace is sufficient. Now we can get mad about this. You ever seen a kid that didn't get what they wanted? How many children have you ever said no to that reached up and or gave you a hug and said, thank you for saying no? I take it that's not your experience either. No. When somebody says no to us, what happens? Oh, I like that. Ashley went, And that's exactly what we do. You know, for a while, we're probably going to stub up. We're going to cry. We're going to kick our little spiritual feet. We're going to say, you'd do it if you loved me. That's one of my favorites. You'd do it if you loved me. Because we can be so immature. Just like little kids that don't get what they want. But God still says, no, it's not the right thing. But I love you. The real good news about thorns is people with thorns are very inspirational. Think of the people that you find the most inspirational, and chances are it's not the somebody who's great, who's had everything seemingly handed to them. We are impressed by those people who start with nothing and build it into something. And we're even more impressed by those who have obstacles to overcome. Think of Helen Keller. Helen Keller was deaf and blind, who went on to become a great writer and thinker and Christian and a person who was able to inspire the entire world. Think about, how many of y'all know David Ring? Let me see your hands. Yeah, some of you know David Ring. David Ring is an evangelist who they said was never going to amount to anything because he has cerebral palsy. And so you can't really tell from this picture of him because he just looks like a normal guy. But when he's preaching, you got to watch him because he is literally all over the place and having a good time doing it. It doesn't bother him that he's all over the place. He has something of a speech impediment. So I have to listen to him for a little while before I catch the rhythm of his words and really begin to understand him. He preaches to thousands and inspires and brings hundreds to Christ in these colosseums that he speaks in. He's an inspiration. Think of Johnny Erickson Tata. A vibrant young woman who has an accident and is paralyzed from the neck down. An athletic person who's used to being able to do anything they want to do, and all of a sudden, she can do nothing. But she can paint, holding a paintbrush in her teeth. And she started a foundation for people like her. And she gives inspirational talks, and she gives great inspiration to thousands of people every year. Talking about the love of God, if anybody you would think would curse God, but she does not. It's these people who overcome that inspire us. And if you'll give me just a moment of personal privilege, I'm going to show you a picture of my greatest inspiration. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Gary Lankford. The greatest human being I've ever known. Who did not let the fact that he was in a wheelchair stop him from doing anything. 2 bachelors, 2 masters, a PhD. This guy in a wheelchair was over the physical education department. Figure that one. If you stuck him, he would have bled orange. And when God called him to become a pastor, I promise you, there was thousands of naysayers who said, well, you can't visit people in their home, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And he just looked at them and said, you know, I think God knows that. It's kind of like the people who, you know, came to me and said, well, you can't be a pastor, you're a woman. I go, no, really? I bet God didn't notice. It's one of those things. And I never one time in 24 years heard that man complain that somebody had done him wrong. And trust me, they did. He was an inspiration. And still is to all who ever knew him. It's not just the famous. All of us, as we overcome our thorns, are inspirational. Because we've all got them. Let's be honest. And God just won't take them away. He won't make it all better. The thing is to understand that's okay. That's okay. Because whatever is still under God's control. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you that the Lord God Almighty loves you. And if he tells you no, it is for your good and the good of others. Because I hate to break it to you, but it ain't all about you either. I don't know what's up with that. I quite personally wish it was all about me, because then I could get what I wanted. But it's not. And that's okay. If God says no, say it's the will of God and go on. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.